Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where each episode we discuss some scientific misconceptions and we hope that you learn something you didn't already know about the world. I'm here with my co-host Camden. No dry cough here, Hanslick Burton.
And joining me is my co-host, Margaret Lysol, you later, Hanslick Burton.
Welcome to the show.
Our first segment every week is where we share something that we are excited about. Hey, Margaret, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. We were off for one episode and now we're back on. Things are crazy.
Things are different.
I think crazy is okay to say.
Oh, okay.
We're in the middle of our quarantine. Cameron and I have very different approaches as to how to deal with the virus. Cameron likes to learn all about it, and I don't. That's okay.
That is okay. Do what you need. I think I learn about it. I think learning all about it, you can do to some extent.
Yeah.
You can learn.
I follow guidelines. I want to be clear. I follow all the guidelines. I just don't need to know, like, what's the count for every state and how many people got it in China at this time.
Yeah, no, I do read the counts every night, more out of just an interest of like following the numbers, and like you can see like trends across countries and across different strategies countries have used. I certainly don't go deep into all of the headlines about the coronavirus, because one could literally go crazy.
Yep.
Doing that. But you know what, we're in quarantine, like you said. Just keep washing your hands. Stay 6 feet away from people. Don't be in groups over 10.
Don't go to spring break parties in Florida, y'all.
Don't do that.
Please.
All of this is just to reduce the spread, reduce the load on our hospitals so that we can get everyone the attention that they need.
Initially, we were going to do a whole episode about coronavirus misconceptions, but then we decided, no, we're inundated with all that information on a regular basis. So let's have a little break from it. Let's talk about other things, right?
And I will also say that, like, we thought about this for a while, and some of it is inundation, but another is we don't need to be, we want to make sure people are getting the right information.
Right.
Please go to cdc.gov. That information is accurate, is shared by experts. There is a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of information out there right now that isn't 100% truthful. It is important to stay, like you were saying, to stay informed. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go overboard and read about it every single day.
No, you don't.
But you certainly should know what is real and how to actually take precautions and keep yourself safe, and really importantly, keep others safe, even if you are not someone maybe at risk of complications from the virus. So with that said, Margaret, what have you been up to recently?
Oh, you know, going everywhere, seeing everything. No, I've been
licking doorknobs.
Licking people's hands, you know, all those precautions. No, I have been home. So something I've been excited about, as much as this sounds lame, is I'm really excited that I've had a lot of time to do the cleaning and organizing that you and I have kind of wanted to do for a while, but it's bigger projects that we don't ever have time for. Like, they're not, you know, pressing. So I've gotten to do some deeper cleaning, some organizing. Like, I'm sitting right here by this big file that we are going through that we just don't usually have time for. So it's funny how when you're an adult, that is exciting, but it really is. I'm really excited about it. What about you, Camden?
I've been very busy recently, getting our school set up to be run online.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of work to turn a school that is 100% in person to now 100% not in person. Figuring out Google videos and turning in work online, and how are you going to meet a student virtually at the same class time, and how are you going to make sure they're still doing the work, and so many things go into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of crazy. We've had our first couple days of school. Students are coming to school. Students are learning the thing. Students are doing the things.
All online.
Big shout out to all the teachers who are making it happen all across the country. It is not easy, but it is very important to keep people educated in these times.
That's right. So now let's head into the main segment of the show, which of course are the misconceptions. So every week we each bring a new scientific misconception to share, explain, and discuss. And as we always say, neither of us know what the other is going to say, what their misconception is going to be, so that the other person gets to learn along with you. So we usually flip a coin for this, but we never have a coin. So what are we going to do today, Camden?
Flip this guy.
Flip the coaster. Oh, we have a coaster. One side is white and one side is purple. Okay. Are you going to toss them? I'm feeling purple. Go ahead.
Supposed to call in the air.
Oh.
Oh, no, it split. It split into white and purple. quick, another flip. Still purple?
Sure. What's the verdict?
It's white.
Okay. Go ahead. I feel like you always go first.
No.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does. Okay, go ahead.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Margaret, imagine this. You're walking through.
It sounds spooky. Ooh.
The southeastern Everglades.
It's pretty specific.
You see something wiggle in the bushes.
Ooh.
And you go over to it and you think, huh, what's that? You see a little
Cthulhu by the sound.
A little black thing wiggling out of the bush. And you think, I wonder what that is. And you yank on it.
Nope, would never. Not in Florida, baby.
You yank on it.
No, no, no.
And out pops a snake. It is red, black, and yellow. What do you do?
Well, I wouldn't have done any of this so far.
What do you do?
Leave it alone. What? Just don't touch
it. Are you in danger?
I mean,
how do you know?
Probably.
How do you know? Are you in danger? Quick, act on your feet.
Okay. What colors did you say it was? What colors did you say it was?
Red, black, and yellow. What are you looking for?
Red, black, and yellow. I'm looking for the order of the stripes.
What are we looking for? Tell me, quick.
Red next to black, friend of Jack. Red next to yellow, kill a fellow. Is that how it goes?
That is how it goes.
But I bet it's not true.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, ba, da, da.
Ba, da, quick, da, da, no, stop. Okay. You got to stop. We're going to get sued so fast if we keep going.
Sorry.
Well, this week on Camden Always Goes First, we talk about, does red on yellow kill a fellow, red touch black save friend of Jack? Is that a thing?
But it's not. The way you're presenting this, it's not.
So let's talk about these little snaky guys and which ones are actually dangerous, if any of them, if all of them, if none of them. First, I'm going to share my sources. Sorry, I got spooked for a second. There are sounds from outside our house. From theveneminterviews.com and herpedia.com.
Sounds legitimate.
I looked into it. Herpedia seemed pretty legit, despite the fact that it had a name that was a little wild.
Really? Really poor choice.
Yeah, Herpedia. Herpedia. They avoided the S in there, so they're okay. So, Margaret, do you know any of the snakes that have, led to this rhyme?
Coral snake?
Coral snake?
Yeah.
Very good. Any others? That's okay if you don't have any more.
No, a king? King
snake?
Yeah,
very good. Yeah. King snake. So we've got the coral snake, the king snake, and the other one often thrown into this is the milk snake.
Okay.
So a coral snake has repeats of thick red bands, followed by a yellow band, followed by a thick black band.
Okay.
So red on yellow.
Mm-hmm. Kill a fellow.
Kill a fellow. That is the coral snake. Is the coral snake venomous?
Yes,
it is.
Yes. Okay.
So that rhyme does hold up for that.
For the coral snake.
Mm-hmm. It is a venomous snake. It lives in North America, primarily in the southeast and southwestern parts of the United States. So the Sonoran Desert and Florida, those areas. Now, this is kind of tricky because the coral snake, while it is the venomous one of the group, it is not always going to look like that. So I'm going to do my best here, Margaret.
Because aren't there different species of coral snakes?
There are different species. I'm going to show you this. Look in the top. Do you see that little guy?
Uh-huh.
Little cute guy.
Little cutie.
A little coral snake. Very mm-hmm. venomous. Let me scroll down. You see all this picture?
Oh, wow.
Can you describe to listeners what you're seeing
here? So Cameron is showing me an image of basically like the front halves of, I assume these are all different coral snake species?
All coral snakes just in South America.
Wow. So like there's one that's all black with just one yellow stripe. There are some that are all black with like white and yellow stripes. Some are red with... Yeah, there's all different kinds. There's all different colors and patterns.
And what did you say was the pattern that told you it was deadly?
Red next to yellow, kill a fellow.
What would be the problem there?
That not all of them are red next to yellow. Like some of them are black next to yellow, and some of them are red next to black.
And what was the good version of that?
Friend of red next to black, friend of Jack.
Would that work for some of these coral snakes?
No, no, no.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. I love that image.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All of the coral snakes
species
just in South America. Now, I do think that there may be herpetologists screaming at this episode right now. I think this did originate in North America, this phrase. So mm-hmm. it might be the case that this works a lot more easily in Florida, mm-hmm. where it may not work as easily if you are walking around Brazil.
I imagine you're going to say this, but just leave him alone. Just don't get close enough to be like, huh, I wonder, what are we looking at here pattern-wise?
Pattern-wise, what we got? So this is a milk snake, which is has big red bands next to black bands, mm-hmm. but there is yellow in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Milk snake is non-venomous, also lives in North and South America, pretty much everywhere. It actually said... Some sites are saying it's the most ubiquitous snake in North America.
Whoa.
The only place it doesn't live is the West Coast. So we won't see them.
Oh.
And then there's the king snake, which is also red on black, with little splotches of yellow thrown in there as well. Looks very similar to a milk snake. It's also non-venomous. Lives in Southeast too. So all of these snakes... overlap in Southeast United States.
Okay.
And the most common one in the United States that breaks this rule is the shovel nose snake. It is not venomous.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah, they're real cute, aren't they?
They have cute little stumpy noses.
Oh, cute.
But it is red on yellow.
Okay.
The way you
and
can
they're non-venomous.
The way you can tell the difference is the yellow is very pale and... It's like a red splotch. It looks like it's spotted with red. Mm. Are you looking up a...
Yeah, I just want to see their tiny little... Shovel nose snake, sorry.
Yeah.
Keep talking. I'm just looking.
So it has like red little splotches. It's not like the thick bands that you're familiar with in a coral snake. But they live in the Sonoran Desert too. So they also don't live in the Southeast.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they're pale yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're so cute. Oh, no. They're so cute. Oh.
You see why they're called shovel nose?
Yeah, yeah. Found in sandy little... They really do, like, their noses are so flat. Top of their heads are so flat. Perfect for little shovels.
Little shovels. So, it is a handy rhyme. Margaret, as you were just saying, it is probably best to just never touch
just
them.
Don't
touch
worry
them.
About
and
it.
You don't have to worry about what just went on.
Yeah.
It was... Estimate about 100 coral snake attacks occur a year, attacks in quotes. About 70 of those are in Florida. I actually learned that most venomous snake bites in the United States come from not coral snakes, but from pit vipers, which includes rattlesnakes, copperheads, and cottonmouths.
Yeah.
Corals actually don't leave a lot of venom if they bite you,
mm-hmm.
and their toxic effect is not felt as quickly as you would feel in a pit viper. So it could take a couple hours for it to really start to hurt. But you definitely know if you've been bit.
Sure.
Usually you feel that part of it.
Yep.
So if you think you've been bit, there is antivenom.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the emergency room. You also don't need the antivenom to survive. It's very painful, but
That's nice.
Still probably a good idea to go to emergency room, even if you think you've been bit.
Right.
So I'll sort of in this idea with why do they even look like, why are there snakes that kind of look like each other?
Well, it's kind of like the Viceroy and the Monarch, right?
Ah, say more.
Well, the Monarch is, I think, is it bitter tasting? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, I haven't eaten one. I want to be clear, but
recently.
I think the Monarch has like a very bitter taste. I don't think it actually has any like poison in it, right?
So,
it's just gross tasting, according to people I've interviewed. And the Viceroy is a butterfly that looks very, very similar to the Monarch, but doesn't taste gross.
Yeah,
but they
want
to. Oh, okay.
Well, again, I think
like
it tastes good.
A little caramel, like a little Werther's.
Like,
I guess that's butterscotch. Anyway, we're out of desserts in our house, people.
Yeah, it's day four of the quarantine.
Anyway, so they imitate the Viceroy has evolved to look very similar to the Monarch so that they can maybe confuse predators into thinking that they are also gross tasting, much like I imagine other snakes kind of all look like venomous snakes so that predators think twice about messing with them.
Yeah, so in classical biology, we have two big examples of what you're describing as mimicry.
Mm-hmm.
So something mimicking the other. What you've described here is Batesian mimicry, which is something that isn't toxic,
mm-hmm.
mimicking something that is.
Mm.
So the Viceroy is mimicking a monarch, and king and milk snakes are mimicking the coral snake.
Mm-hmm. That's the highest form of flattery.
Is Batesian mimicry.
Yes.
I wanted a t-shirt of that. But the other type of mimicry that's often taught is Müller. It has the little umlaut.
Okay.
Müllerian mimicry.
Uh-huh.
This is when two toxic animals mimic each other so that other animals around learn that that is a dangerous thing and that they should be avoided.
Can you give me an example of that?
One example is poison dart frogs. So if you're a poisonous and you look like a bunch of wild colors, animals won't exactly learn which one of you is poison quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are all bright red,
like if a bunch of different species are all,
and you are poisonous, mm-hmm. but you are all bright red, mm-hmm. it is likely animals won't even, they will learn much more, like much faster that you are poisonous.
Okay.
Or anything that looks like you is poisonous.
Okay. Okay.
So it's not Batesian in that they really are poisonous. The other example here is coral snakes. Coral snakes, there are many different species, like you said. But as you saw in that picture, they all are sort of looked like each other.
Mm-hmm.
The red on yellow doesn't
very
always
similar.
Work.
Yeah.
But you definitely can look at one and go, these are some type of corals.
Mm-hmm.
So coral snakes tend to do that too because they are all venomous,
mm-hmm.
I think. I didn't look at all the species, but many of them are venomous. And so when they mimic each other so that other animals learn that they are poisonous,
mm-hmm.
or venomous, that is Müllerian mimicry.
Gotcha. I didn't know there were different kinds of mimicry. Thanks, Camden.
So what are the two?
Batesian and Müllerian.
One is?
The Batesian is where a species that isn't venomous or poisonous is very closely, looks very similar to a species that is, whereas Müllerian is different species that all are venomous, kind of look like each other so that animals know, like, just leave that whole group alone.
Yeah. It's like a quicker recognition, like, oh, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I left episode 21 with a note about antivenom.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about, can you suck the venom out of your arm or snake bites?
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot.
Mm-mm.
As a reminder, there is the Snake Bite Initiative, which is a nonprofit in Australia that delivers antivenoms, which are very rare and very expensive,
right,
to places around the world that could not otherwise afford them. They deliver their top three countries that they deliver venom to are antivenom is Kenya, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea. The Snake Bite Initiative is somewhere you can donate to because it costs around $150 a dose of antivenom.
Goodness. Can you say that name again of the organization?
The Snake Bite Initiative.
Thanks, Camden.
Yeah.
Just don't mess with snakes. Just don't do it.
And don't do what Margaret did foolishly in the opening scenario.
I never.
And grab the wiggly little tail in the bush.
I would never do that. Okay. So my misconception is a little off the beaten path for me because it's not animal related, which is shocking.
Whoa.
Not something I'd normally do. So take that with a grain of salt. I'm going to say I don't know everything to know that there is to know about this topic, but I am learning more.
I would just like to throw out that everyone listening to this podcast can assume
that we don't know everything
we talk about while researched is not everything one can know about this.
That's true. This podcast would be real, real long. Actually, forever long.
Or we would just never do it because we'd be too scared.
Okay, Camden. So I'm trying to set this up. We always try to set these questions up and we know what the answer is going to be because it's a misconception. So
you're walking.
No.
I feel like that's how all mine start.
So when somebody has something really good happen to them and they might be tempted to take it for granted, what might someone say
Don't let the door hit you.
No.
Or the
good Lord split you. That's not my misconception.
Also, what a terrifying image to think that God is up there somewhere splitting you so that you have legs.
Just a little bit.
And a butt.
Anyway,
sorry, that's the thought I had.
If you have some good fortune, you're maybe taking it for granted. Somebody might say, well, just, you know, enjoy this because lightning never strikes the same place twice.
They do say that.
They say that, but should they?
Yep.
No. No, they shouldn't. No, they shouldn't. So my misconception is that lightning never strikes the same place twice. In fact, it does. And my sources are How Stuff Works, Penn State, ABC, The Weather Channel, NASA, and weather.gov. So
that sounds a lot more reliable than Herpedia.
I almost used her, please believe it or not, but I decided, nah. Okay, so the origin of this misconception, like I alluded to, it is a kind of a turn of phrase of like, you know, either something really good happened and that might not happen again, or if something really sad happened, it's kind of like don't worry about it.
Lightning never strikes twice.
Never strikes the same place twice, so like probably won't happen to you again. So basically as a way to say that it's rare for something really amazing or really tragic to happen to a person more than once.
Got it.
And even then, it's not really true. Like you can have two nice things. You can have two really great things happen.
Do people say it a lot when nice things happen?
I don't know.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Like, is anyone ever like, oh my God,
I think about it as like in terms of the first example that came to my head is like fame. Or like a genius idea. Does that make sense?
Like, oh, I thought of Post-its. And they're like, enjoy it. Because lightning never strikes twice.
So let's talk about what is lightning. Okay? What is lightning?
Oh, okay.
We see it sometimes, although in this area of the country, we really don't.
The area being the westish coast.
The westish, northwestish area of the United States. So lightning is simply a huge electrical charge. And you can get pretty specific into this. Like, it begins when electrical charges are created in the thunderclouds, when ice crystals crash into each other. Other people have, like, these are just more details about this. It's created when positive and negative charges within the clouds build up to such a capacity that air breaks down and discharges the electricity, according to Penn State.
You could say that.
Just a lot of basically like excess positive and negative charges in the thunderclouds. I learned you see it most often in thunderstorms, but it can happen in sandstorms. It can happen in snowstorms. And even it can happen over volcanoes too.
Wild. That is an image.
Yeah. So really, that's like just
that's Lord of the Rings
nature.
Level.
Yeah. And I learned that most lightning doesn't actually reach the ground. Instead, most lightning occurs in the clouds. Only
I feel like I see that a lot, but I guess I never thought about that.
Yeah, only about a third of lightning hits the ground.
Oh.
So
is it someone's job to count?
I think it's a lot of someone's jobs, or at least someone's research papers. Yes.
I'm the lightning technician.
And as we know, lightning is drawn typically to the tallest structure or object in the area, which is why you don't want to stand under a tree when there's a lightning storm. But we'll get into that more. So why isn't it true? Why is it not true that lightning doesn't strike twice? Well, just as a couple of examples that we can think of, the Empire State Building, which is very tall, is hit many, many times a year because it is so tall. However, I was interested to know that I could not find a consistent number for how many times it's hit. One reputable source said 35 times a year. Another reputable source said 100 times. And another reputable source said 1,000. So more than once is what they agree on. But exactly how many times, we don't know. Unfortunately, some people are hit by lightning more than once. I think the record, if you can call it that, it sounds like something you've earned, but no one wants that prize, is 7. I think not in the same time, but right. Like over his lifetime was hit 7 times.
I remember reading about that guy in like elementary school. Yeah,
not great. Not great.
I think he had a pretty tragic life. This apart, as anyone would, it being hit 7 times, but I think it like messed with him.
Oh yeah, I think so too. How could it not? How could it not? You're being charged with electricity. ABC Australia said that when you think about it, lightning is pretty likely to hit the same place more than once, especially because landscapes encourage storms to behave in the same ways time after time. Does that make sense?
You're just saying like lightning is not like the land is not like every piece of land has the same chance of being struck by lightning because mm-hmm. the way it's shaped.
Yeah.
Storms tend to move through it in like predictable-ish ways.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Okay, good. And then even though it's hard for us to see it happen, each flash of lightning is striking more than once generally. So what we see is like one little flash is actually a lot of flashes happening. A study found that each observed flash of lightning, again, even though we couldn't see it, hit the ground in 1.45 places on average.
So 1.45 places?
Yeah. So it was likely that it would be hitting more than one spot in that same flash. Okay. So if it's hitting more than we can even see, that's increasing the likelihood it's going to hit the same place twice. Now this is getting pretty technical, but there are some, you can research more about it on your own, but they're trying to figure out why it is. And they think that it has to do, researchers think that the ability of lightning to strike more than once has to do with these lightning needles, and lightning needles have positive charges that aren't discharged during the first strike. So they have some, I feel like in my layman's terms, like they still have some energy left so they can strike more than once. They're not just like discharging all of that energy in the first strike. They're using it a couple of times. Do you track that?
Yeah. Needles.
Lightning needles.
Between you and me, audience, I don't know what's happening.
So, suffice it to say that you can have lightning hit more than one spot, and a spot can be hit more than one time. So now let's talk about some related lightning safety information. Of course, lightning strikes can be damaging. They can damage a person's brain and nerves pretty badly. In fact, while I was going down this rabbit hole, I saw, I forget what they're called now, but of course it's like lichen tree or something like that. When people get struck by lightning, they have this very unusual pattern on their skin.
Oh, I've seen that.
It almost looks like a henna tattoo almost. Like, but then you think about like, it looks painful once you think about it, but it's very interesting to look at.
Did your sources say if lightning strikes hurt?
They did say it does. They did say it does. But the National Weather Service says you have a 1,000,000-to-1 chance of being struck by lightning. So
what is the odds of winning the lottery?
I don't know. I think you have a better chance of being struck by lightning, maybe?
You keep going. I'll figure this
out. Okay. And then this is kind of our myth within a myth section, because I had always heard, you know, you want to be the least tall thing around so you can lay on the ground.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But you should not lay on the ground because you are basically increasing the chances that you'll be struck by a ground current because your whole body is on the ground. So don't lay down. Do not lay down.
Climb a flagpole.
No, do not do that.
Then where do I go?
Also, rubber shoes don't matter. I've always thought like, okay, I've got tennis shoes on. We'll be fine. Nope. A lightning bolt is really powerful and your rubber shoes don't make a difference. So if you're in a lightning storm, if you're in a thunderstorm, go to a shelter, go to a house, go to a car. Those are all structures that can protect you from lightning bolts. Cameron, why would a being in a car protect you? And we're not talking like a convertible. We're talking like a car.
Because even though the car is metal, you're grounded.
Yeah, great. So maybe you knew this already. I always thought that it was the rubber tires that protected you.
I was about to say that.
Were you? You can say it.
No, audience. This is between you and me. I was going to say that, but then I thought, don't say that because you don't know what you're talking about.
You can tell
you
me, too.
Can you hear that?
I can. Yeah, I can hear it,
audience.
Too. But I really had always thought that, I remember distinctly there when I was like in fourth grade, maybe there was a thunderstorm and we all got in the car and I thought it was because we have rubber tires. That'll be fine. But it's really, like you said, it's because it's not the rubber tires that keep you safe from electrocution. It's the metal roof and sides that keep you safe. If the lightning were to hit a vehicle with a metal frame, the electricity goes through the metal frame and into the ground, like you said. So you're not getting struck by that lightning. Just don't lean on the metal when you're in the car. A safe distance from a recent flash of lightning is at least 6 to 8 miles away. So try to get that distance. So in conclusion, get to a car, get to a house, don't lie down because lightning can strike the same place twice.
Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we're going to now move on to our next segment. Oh, did you find something?
Yeah, I found the odds.
Go ahead.
What would you say the odds were?
1 in 1 million, I think. Yeah.
Is it 1 in 1 million?
Uh-huh.
It's 1 in 4 million to get bit by a shark. So you have better odds of getting struck by lightning.
Don't even get me started on getting bit by a shark.
I just knew you would like that one. Ugh. And 1 in 250 to 300 million of winning the lottery. So
what does that tell you?
Getting electrocuted by a shark. It's more likely.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to go into our segment about something that we have consumed this week, something that we're reading or watching or listening to. And I'm going to go first on this one because you got to go first on Misconceptions. I have been consuming some of my favorite things that have popped up, the silver linings that have popped up as part of this quarantine period, which is that many of my very favorite musicians are giving live concerts from their homes. So like on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, you can watch as your favorite, you know, artists give a concert from the comfort of their own home. So I've watched Colin Molloy, the lead singer of the Decemberists. I watched a live little mini performance that he did yesterday. Ben Gibbard, who is the lead singer of Death Cab for Cutie, is right now doing a live stream every single day at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
From Seattle.
And he features a new charity every day to donate to or to donate money to or toiletries, something like that. So I really enjoyed that. I feel like it's like people coming together figuratively and making the best out of the situation. And you get to hear some really, really good music out of the deal. So check that out. See if your favorite artist is doing that. What have you been consuming?
Similar to you, like a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've diversified a lot of what we're doing just to keep things fresh and nothing, like we don't get overwhelmed by just only reading something or only watching so I have a couple of things that will probably get sprinkled into multiple episodes as we go on. But most recently, I've been listening to a podcast I've sort of avoided. I don't know if anyone else does this. I tend to avoid things that I think I really will like.
Oh, I do that all the time. Did you get that from me?
I don't know. Like, we avoided watching the last season of Parks and Recreation.
We didn't want it to be over.
We avoided watching Broad City.
Last season of Broad City.
Even though we know, like, those kids, we love them.
I love it.
Another podcast that I've avoided is Conan Needs a Friend. Because I figured I would love it. And I don't know what broken part of my brain is like, don't listen to the thing you'll love. I started listening to it, and it's very funny. And it's also very, like, heartfelt is not the word, but just very, like, genuine. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of, as someone who has done improv comedy in the past, Conan talks about how he gets jealous when he watches other people do stand-up, and it's very funny to me, because people know Conan is, like, this very funny person. He gets jealous watching other people do things that he wants to do. Or not jealous, but, like, FOMO almost, or something like that. So anyway, it's just very fun, and he gets great people on it. And they're also just, like, not all of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed like, John Oliver, who he said he hadn't talked to maybe a couple times before having him on the show. So very interesting. It's not just them trying to be funny. It's him just, like, asking very interesting questions.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too. So check it out. Conan Needs a Friend.
So thank you, as always, for listening today. You can hear more content like this from our Sister Wife podcast, which is called From Ew, E-W, to O, hosted by me.
Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions is a podcast produced by Two Birds, One Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do. Shush. I had a weird pause. Do what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at www.twobirdsonescone.org.
Original music by Camillo. And if you could please find our podcast, which you have because you've been listening, and then rate, review, and subscribe, because that really helps listeners find us. And in these times, you're working from home. What a perfect time to explore a new podcast. So
what a perfect time to binge all 30 now episodes.
Yeah, this is 30. Kim also turned 30, 30 and flirty.
I will never remember my flirty 30s.
You'll never forget them.
I will never remember them. If you have scientific misconceptions you would like explained or want to provide feedback to us, please email us at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com. Have a great week.
And wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.